Enhanced protection for the Chilkat River was the topic of a jam-packed Haines Town Hall meeting Monday night. And the Haines Library is a finalist for a National Service Award. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Emily Files. Those stories up next. An Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation official fielded frustration and confusion at a packed town hall meeting in Haines Monday. DEC Director of Water Michelle Hale was in town to explain outstanding national resource water protections. Right now, there are three of those nominations pending in Alaska, including one for the Chilkat River. The Chilkat nomination has some people worried about the potential impacts of such a high-level protection. Resident Duck Hess was one of several who spoke against it. Here he is with DEC's Hale responding.
I might be slow, but I can't wrap my head around why we've got to classify the river. We don't drink out of it. The fish go up there every year. Why classify something and have another law that are stuffed down our throat? We don't need that.
Sir, I can't answer that question. I'm sorry.
Chilkat Indian Village Tribal President Jones Hotch Jr. did answer why the village nominated the river for the enhanced protection. He said poor salmon harvests in recent years are a warning sign.
The Chilkat River has fed us for generations, and we want that to continue. It'll keep coming back. We need to take care of that. And this is a vehicle that can help us help the salmon.
Outstanding resource designations give waters the highest protection possible under the Federal Clean Water Act. Hale said there are three levels of anti-degradation standards for waters, tiers 1, 2, and 3. In tier 1 and 2 waters, some pollutants are allowed. But in Tier 3 waters, also called Outstanding National Resource waters, pollutants are prohibited unless they're temporary and limited.
At the time of designation, no additional pollutants can be added to that water. Whereas if it were not designated, we would be able to authorize discharges that would add additional pollutants but not exceed water quality criteria.
But Alaska hasn't decided on a process to say yes or no to outstanding resource nominations. The Clean Water Act requires states to have a process in place, but Hale says how to do it is left wide open.
What that has done across the country is it's really left the implementation of this to the states, but it's been a very confusing process for states. So a lot of states have taken a long time, just as Alaska has. Alaska is in the throes of developing a process.
Earlier this year, Governor Bill Walker introduced bills in the state House and Senate that would give lawmakers the power to decide on outstanding resource nominations. But many of the questions Monday night weren't about Alaska's work to develop a process. They were about how the high-level protection would impact residents and the economy. Here's resident George Campbell.
So what I keep hearing, our regulations. What protection do we, the public here that use this on a daily basis, have that we're not going to be regulated out of our current uses?
Hale said Tier 3 restrictions impact point source pollutants. That could include a mine or a wastewater treatment plant that discharges into the river. But things like two-stroke engines, snow plowing, and septic systems would not be impacted. Also, pre-existing wastewater discharges wouldn't get shut down if they stayed at the same level. Constantine Metal Resources is conducting exploration for a potential mine in the Chilkat Valley. An audience member who identified himself as a miner asked what would happen to that operation.
If this turns into a Tier 3 river, how much harder is it going to be for Constantine to get a permit than it is right now?
I can't answer that specifically because I don't know the nature of what their discharge would be. It could be much harder, and I just don't know the answer without observing the details.
It could be much harder.
It could be impossible.
It could possibly.
Thank you.
Some audience members said it doesn't seem fair that just anyone could nominate the river without consensus from a wider group. Hale said public feedback is one reason DEC feels the decision should be in the hands of the legislature.
It's a very public process, so the legislature would hold hearings, they would ask for input from their constituents, so that is the idea, that it would be a public process, for sure.
Resident Tom Ely asked if it would be better to take the decision out of the political realm and put it in the scientific realm by letting DEC decide instead of lawmakers. Here's Hale.
The issue here is it's actually not so much a scientific decision as it is a political land use decision because of the consequences or the potential consequences.
Hale tried to make one point really clear. The bills working their way through legislative committees right now wouldn't approve or deny the Chilkat nomination. They would simply put a mechanism in place to make decisions about nominations. That is required by federal law. The other two outstanding resource nominations pending in Alaska are for the Bristol Bay Watershed and the Coctuli River.
So the nominations for the Bristol Bay Watershed and the Coctuli River have not generated the level of controversy and difficulty that we're seeing here in Haines.
Hale said if the bills in the legislature don't pass, DEC will have to regroup on what to do with outstanding resource nominations. She said the agency would likely work with the governor on future legislation. The Institute of Museum and Library Services announced this week that the Haynesboro Public Library is among 30 finalists for the 2016 National Medal for Museum and Library Service. The award is the nation's highest honor given to museums and libraries for service to the community. KHNS's Jillian Rogers has more.
For 22 years, the award has been presented to organizations which demonstrate extraordinary and innovative approaches to public service and are making a difference for individuals, families, and communities. 15 libraries and 15 museums, big and small, are chosen from a larger pool of nominees. Dr. Catherine Matthew is the director of the Institute awarding the honor. She said in a statement that finalists make lasting differences in their communities by serving and inspiring the public. She added that the Institute proudly recognizes these organizations for their work to provide Americans with educational resources, 21st century skills, and opportunities for lifelong learning. Senator Lisa Murkowski nominated the Haynes Library. Director Patricia Brown said they were nominated last year, too, but this is the first time they've been selected as a finalist. She said there are a lot of reasons why the library here is so exceptional.
The community support is what makes it valuable and special. The staff, the strong library board members, and also the friends of the library that are able to help us in so many ways create additional programs. And we have like a 12-year partnership with the Chilkoot Indian Association. I think that makes it very valuable.
The Institute of Museum and Library Services is the main source of federal support for the nation's 123,000 libraries and 35,000 museums. The Haynes Library and Juneau Public Libraries are the only two Alaska institutes on the list of finalists. They're in the company of prestigious museums and libraries from across the nation. Winners will be selected later this spring, and representatives from winning institutions will travel to Washington, D.C. for a ceremony at the White House in May. Last year, the public library in Craig was among the 10 winners from around the country. The Institute encourages those who have visited finalist libraries and museums to share their stories on the IMLS Facebook page. To learn more about the 2016 National Medal finalists, find the link at khns.org. Reporting in Haines, I'm Jillian Rogers.
Tonight is the Haines community's chance to meet candidates for Haines School District Superintendent. Yakutat Superintendent Robin Gray and Pawpaw, Michigan Superintendent Anthony Habra are the two finalists for the job. They will speak at a community forum tonight at 7 p.m. at the school. The school board is scheduled to conduct public interviews with the candidates tomorrow between 9 a.m. and noon and make a decision after that. For KHNS News, I'm Emily Files. Thanks for joining us this evening. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website at khns.org.